Greetings! You are listening to Hypocritical, a podcast by Hypocritic GG. I'm Lou, some call me Cheat Speak, and we got another Nintendo episode this time around, and an interesting one, I think. Nintendo has had a very love-hate relationship with online infrastructure and features over the decades, something you will no doubt be aware of if you've ever picked up their consoles for any period of time. They will commonly ignore many seemingly basic features of these sort of online services that you would see in, you know, the PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, etc., while putting in their own very Nintendo spin on other elements of those experiences that make them really, really distinct and help to outshine some of those other flaws or issues. So this time around, I thought it would be fun to look back at several of what I felt are the really unique connectivity features that Nintendo consoles have featured over the years and over decades. This is not a comprehensive list, but I pulled out four that I thought were interesting to note, and they are PictoChat, Miiverse, StreetPass, and GameChat. So let's begin. Right off the bat, hearing the name PictoChat will probably spark endless nostalgia in some of you out there, and rightfully so. This was a messaging service all the way back on the DS family of consoles, which I feel gross saying all the way back already. I sprouted five more gray hairs as I said that, but the entire range, the Nintendo DS, the DS Lite, the DSi, and the DSi XL. And it was basically, as its name described, Picto Chat. It was a local messaging service within about 30 to 33 feet of you, standard Bluetooth device range, right? And only local messaging, no internet available, at least not, you know, right out of the box on the console. So it was just people that were in your general vicinity that you could talk to. Text and hand-drawn images were supported via the touchscreen, so you could type out individual messages, send them to the entire room, send them across friends, make little doodles, draw on top of the text, move things around with up to 16 people per room, again, in your general vicinity there. So you could drop in and drop out as you please, you know, share all these fun little messages and generally just kill time in that fun and unique way. Again, it sparks nostalgia for a lot of people, I think, because it was an absolute joy for kids and players of all ages to mess around with wherever you had enough kind of social construct happening around you to justify messing around with it. You know, field trips, long car rides, parties, nowadays as a general nostalgia tool, if you boot the hardware up and go revisit some things and you happen to have friends around doing the same thing, it's a really great example of a unique piece of software that was packed in with a Nintendo product to help make it stand out and illustrate how their console and how their hardware was doing something that the rest of the competition really wasn't. You think back to those days in the early, mid, late 2000s when the DS family of products really were shining brightest, and with the sort of still nascent condition of the internet in a lot of places, you know, instant messaging was still sort of confined to the computer room at that point. A lot of families still had like one dedicated way to access the internet and things like that. Smartphones really just sort of coming to bear with things like the iPhone coming out in 2007. This really was a novel way for people to communicate and provided some additional value on top of that, you know, price you're paying to get that hardware in the box. It was always really interesting. It's still really cute and really fun. And again, it's just a good example of Nintendo-fying a feature that may otherwise not have those cute little touches. So that's always a fun one to think about. Jumping forward a generation, and that's where a lot of this talk is going to be, we have two that we're going to focus on from the sort of Nintendo 3DS realm of things. And the first is Miiverse. Kind of primarily maybe thought about via the Wii U, which is where a lot of Miiverse lived and was created, but also supported the Nintendo 3DS fully, as well as web browsers where you could sign into Miiverse, you know, on whatever device could access the internet in that way. And what it was a simple kind of streamlined social network where users could upload posts, game screenshots, things like that, and join communities focused around specific games. So, you know, on the Wii U, for example, you might have a Splatoon community, you might have a Mario Kart 8 community, a Super Mario Maker community, New Super Mario Bros. U, whatever the case was, a lot of those first-party titles especially had dedicated Miiverse communities where people could talk about specific things in the games that they liked, post their progress, post Mario Maker levels for people to find, and communicate with all sorts of different topics and things that were on their mind. There were also communities based around specific events that would happen during the year, like E3, where, again, players could give opinions on things, react to announcements, make their little drawings, you know, whatever it was. The drawings were always a really big draw, pun intended, I guess, for Miiverse, kind of building on that idea of PictoChat and being able to just doodle something quickly, send it out there. A lot of games would incorporate this sort of functionality and allow you to share those doodles in game. And we'll talk about that. But you would see some incredibly intricate and detailed artwork come out of Miiverse, where, again, you're probably just drawing on the gamepad or the Nintendo 3DS touchscreen. So it was really remarkable what some people were able to do when they started spending a lot of time and paying a lot of attention to Miiverse. It was often really silly and very lighthearted for a lot of reasons. Obviously, it's all ages audience and appeal, where you have everyone from, you know, very young children to assumedly much older players engaging with it. And a lot of moderation, a lot of the time, heavy moderation, though not always, kind of helping to keep the vibes, you know, strong and in check and everyone feeling good about it. A lot of memes and a lot of sort of in jokes amongst the Miiverse community spawned from this. If you look on the internet, you'll see things like, why can't Metroid crawl? Or the guy who posted about, you know, water quality in various games to the point where that was referenced in the Super Mario movie, right? Those are all good examples and very popular examples of the kinds of memes and jokes and inside references that this sort of community would spawn. And while, you know, it was ultimately sort of limited to those that were super engaged with Nintendo's hardware, even though there was external web browser support for it, it, you know, further served to unify and cluster together the Nintendo community at a time when the company was candidly struggling, where the Nintendo 3DS was finding some traction, but the Wii U was objectively more or less a failure and not particularly prolific in the marketplace. Now, as I said, many games were incorporating that Miiverse integration and functionality into their own experiences, so posts and different interactions could be seen in different places around game, like the in-game main hub in Splatoon 1, or the stage result screen in Super Mario 3D World. Those are a couple examples that always stood out to me as places you could find, you know, reactions to a specific level or a doodle, you know, supporting whatever team you were on in the current Splatfest in Splatoon. That was always incredibly fun. Things that I even participated in from time to time. Again, you would see that sort of thing in Super Mario Maker, where people would share their level codes and all sorts of different levels of engagement like that, especially as Nintendo tuned the service to become more game focused and less kind of general purpose social media-y in its later years. You still see this idea and some of these interactions in Nintendo Switch games like Splatoon 2 or Splatoon 3, where you still have those pictures that you can share in the main hub of the game and across, you know, different areas of it where it'll show like advertisements, despite the Switch not supporting Miiverse. So it's interesting that there was such a depth and engagement with that idea that it did live on past the social media service that incorporated it. Miiverse was ultimately shut down in 2017, you know, right on the heels of the Nintendo Switch coming out. But backups of, I think, pretty much every user post that has ever existed are available online, at least as of the time of this recording, on something called Archiverse. Archiveverse, you see where it's going like that? Archive Miiverse, Archiverse. So you can, you know, look it up on your favorite search engine and find your own post. If you remember your Nintendo Network ID, because it was the Nintendo Network at the time, you can go search for all of your Miiverse posts and you can go look back on all the glorious cringe that you probably made if you were anything like me during that time. I actually did go back and look at my own posts right before recording this, and yeah, there's a little bit of cringe in there. That was at the time of this recording. That was over a decade ago in some cases, but it's great fun. And it's a really, really unique time capsule in that archived form of what was a pretty unique and noteworthy social media environment for those consoles and for the Nintendo community as a whole. So obviously, you know, worth remembering. Speaking of the Nintendo 3DS, in a not clunky at all segue, we got to talk about Street Pass. What was, again, one of the defining hardware and software-based features of the Nintendo 3DS that made it so much fun and kept players engaging with the console even well after it was discontinued. So Street Pass, if you're not familiar, was passive communication between nearby 3DS systems that could be used for data or content exchange between different users for various games, whatever that experience might look like. All you had to do was keep the 3DS in sleep mode, in your pocket, in your bag, wherever you're going, and walk by someone else who had a Nintendo 3DS in the same condition with them, and you would naturally exchange data. The most notable way this was used, at least from my experience and in my own memory, was Street Pass Mii Plaza and its Puzzle Swap minigame, where Miis would travel between other 3DS systems for use in all the minigames that were in the Mii Plaza experience, and obviously for Puzzle Swap. And this was the big one for me. When you would pass by someone else with your 3DS, you would receive a puzzle piece for use in completing different pictures and unique pieces of art within Street Pass Mii Plaza that were based on various Nintendo IP and games. I remember these being full 3D images, if I remember correctly. So you could turn the 3D slider all the way up and sort of get lost in the image and twist it around and play with it. And it was really, really fun and pretty addicting to take advantage of those times where you were around other 3DS users to try to complete pieces of art you really wanted to see and have, you know, completed in your own collection. It was especially useful and fun when you would naturally be around a ton of other people who would have a 3DS, namely conventions like PAX, PAX East, New York Comic Con, all of those sort of dedicated gatherings of the nerds, right? And that was especially in the later years of the 3DS life cycle when it would be less common to see it kind of out in the wild, so to speak, even if you were in a city or a more dense kind of urban environment. That's really where the 3DS and Street Pass continued to shine and may well still be the case, where I could absolutely see in those dedicated game convention environments like PAX, it would make a lot of sense that people are still carrying their 3DSs around, at least while I'm recording this in 2025, and people are still playing Street Pass Mii Plaza and still completing their puzzle swap pictures, and everything is fun. Once again, this was, like PictoChat, baked into the core of the Nintendo 3DS and included in the operating system by default, so everyone could use it, everyone had access to it, there was nothing new to buy, and developers knew it would always be there so they could bake some of that functionality into their own games with the trust that it's gonna work and other people will take advantage of it. I was candidly very surprised, I've always been surprised, by the fact that Nintendo has never included something similar to Street Pass Mii Plaza, even though they have moved away from the Miis. But that general idea, I was very surprised this was never included with, you know, either the original Switch or the Switch 2, given their focus on portable play and how it sort of merges the company's dedicated sort of home console offerings and portable console offerings. Always seemed like a really good opportunity to continue to build that value proposition for the consoles, which I guess you didn't really need because they're both selling like gangbusters and always have. I don't know, but it would have been interesting. And I thought that was one area I was surprised Nintendo never capitalized on it, all things considered. And then we arrive at the Nintendo Switch 2 and Game Chat, which is, very simply put, Nintendo's take on Discord. Rather than baking in one of those services natively to the console, Nintendo obviously did their own thing and had their own take on it, which is, you know, just native voice and video chat within the console itself with a lot of aggressive kind of parental control and security features, which is great given the, again, the all ages appeal and the cavalcade of youth that are on these systems, right? With screen sharing support at limited frame rates, very limited frame rates for others, included right in, you know, with the push of a button. You can launch a game chat, get friends into a room and play things together where maybe you're not at your phone or your computer, and it's handy to not, you know, if you don't have Discord handy or something like that, you have it baked into the Switch 2 now. And there's some appeal to that. One of the unique things about it, though, in a very Nintendo take on this sort of thing, is that when you're doing a video chat with, you know, back AI, you know, removal of the background that you have back there, or whatever the case is, your friends' faces will appear in certain multiplayer games and in certain capacities. A great example of this is in Mario Kart World, where as you're racing with other people, if you're in the same online lobby or you're sharing a space together, it will display your friends' live faces above their carts and spin them around absurdly and rotate them like crazy if you hit them with an item or if they get hit by an item, which is, again, just one of those really quirky, fun Nintendo touches on what would otherwise be a pretty bog-standard service for this kind of functionality. That said, there are some kind of intrinsic limits on Game Chat's appeal, especially as far as video support is concerned, because there is no camera hardware built into the Nintendo Switch 2. There's a microphone, obviously, but you have to rely on external accessories for video support, which ultimately means whenever there's an accessory in the conversation, no matter how popular it is, or some sort of add-on, you'll have significantly less traction amongst the player base in using it than you would find even with audio chat with a microphone baked into the system, because there's all these extra hoops to jump through. You have to set a camera up. You have to plug it in. You have to be in an environment where you're actively able to use the thing. So the camera's on some sort of tripod or on your monitor or whatever it is. It's not frictionless like it is to just press a button and have the core game chat going with audio. I always did find it odd, like we were talking about with StreetPass before, just an odd exclusion that neither the original Switch or and especially in this case, the Switch 2, not having camera hardware within the system itself. As far back as the Wii U gamepad of all things had a camera and microphone built in. And we've had microphones in these consoles as far back as, you know, the original DS and the Nintendo 64 microphone accessory. You remember Hey You Pikachu? There you go. But there's no camera. And did anyone really use Wii U chat even with the camera on the Wii U gamepad? Maybe that kind of defeats the point I'm trying to make. I don't know. What I'm getting at is that I do find it interesting that with such a heavy focus on this sort of connected social experience of game chat, there's no even really, really cheap camera built into the Switch 2. Are there security or privacy concerns with that? Maybe there's additional kind of support or hardware reasoning I'm not currently thinking about. But if the Wii U had one, it would stand a reason that you could probably pull the same thing off on the Switch 2 to some degree, is my thought. When you put all this together, you think part of what makes Nintendo's consoles generally special and unique to those who gravitate toward them especially, a big part of that is those novel connectivity-focused features where you have these cool, fun, and quirky things in there that no other manufacturer or no other, you know, hardware maker are trying. It's encouraging to see them continuing to invest in these kinds of experiences and add-ons with the Switch 2 and Game Chat, even if the rest of the online experience on Nintendo's consoles continues to lag kind of well behind the rest of the industry. The fact that we're still relying on 12-digit friend codes in a lot of instances to find and maintain friend connections on the Nintendo Switch and Switch 2 is kind of bonkers. And in some cases, it's baby steps with this sort of thing. But baby steps are still steps, I guess. And it's always kind of fun to take a look back at where we've been and how that's influenced where we're going. That's our post-show prompt for topics for today. Have you experienced any of these kind of online services and interesting features of Nintendo's consoles yourself across time? What stands out the most to you across all of them? Are there ones that I missed that you think were really core to those experiences that you remember really well? Let us know in our Discord and happy to hear from you about it. Hypocritic.gg is your hub for all things Hypocritic. Check out our live streams, convention coverage, video reviews, industry interviews, and more. And join our Discord community where you can react to topics we discuss here on the podcast and get the inside scoop on what's coming next from us. Thanks so much for listening. Stay fresh, cheese bags. We'll catch you back here real soon.